Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Mind Your Subconscious podcast. Today, my guest is Rini, and we talked all about how you can get rid of the emotional root cause for your physical illnesses or diseases or whatever it is that is showing up in your body, and how you can really solve that by getting down to your emotions and by looking at all of this holistically. Also, Rini and I talked about aura readings and how you can learn how to read auras and what you can read in auras, and how that helps her and her clients to really determine also what the emotional root cause is and what physical diseases a person has in their body. We also talked about how she learned Ayurveda from her grandmother in India. And we talked a little bit about dance, because this is both of our passion. Get into this episode now, enjoy, and have a great rest of your week. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Mind Your Subconscious podcast. Today, I am here with Rini. And Rini, please introduce yourself and let us know what it is that you do.
Hey, everyone. My name's Rini. I am a personal coach, whether that's health or manifestation, money, love, business. I am a specialist in herbalism and Ayurveda and aura reading, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Very cool. Thank you so much. And how have you gotten into Ayurveda and aura reading?
Oh my God, that happened 25 years ago, probably in my early 20s. I was living in India. I was living with my grandmother at the time. I'm from Canada, but I had gone back there to visit. And I was just fascinated by how she would always address illness. She always had some sort of remedy in her back pocket. She always knew why people were sick and what was causing it. And so I would just sit with her and ask her to explain this kind of stuff to me. And I just became super fascinated, and literally was reading through the newspaper one day, and I saw this course on aura reading. And I'm like, somehow intuitively, I know what an aura is. I didn't know that you can actually read it. And so I signed up for this course, and I got trained there that way.
Wow. Okay. So you got trained in India as well for aura reading too?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so how does that work? Tell us more about the training. How do you get trained to do that? How do you, how do you learn that?
You know what? I went in there completely skeptical about what it is. I'm like, there's no way you can actually read someone's energy and go, figure out what it is. And the way that you actually get trained is they start with teaching you how to meditate. And the instructors walk around, and they can see by the muscles in your face what state of meditation you're in, right? So they have you keep going, keep practicing until you can achieve that state of meditation. And then once you're there, they kind of guide you through a process on how you can actually access and read someone's aura when you're in that state of meditation. And even after doing this for so long, I was skeptical, literally until the final exam. And everybody was given the same client to make a diagnosis on their aura and what's causing their illness. And we all made the same diagnosis. And that was actually what her illness was. And I was like, yeah, this is it. And then I started practicing. And of course, you know, from there, it became yeah, this is a thing. You can go into altered states and do that.
Wow. And how long does it take you nowadays, since you've had so much practice, to get into the state to read someone's aura? Do you just see it? Are you just able to see it straight away in someone? Do you ever turn it off, or does it just come to you? Do you actually tell people when you see something, or how does that work for you right now?
It's something you have to manage, right? So I do like to not tune into it unless somebody specifically asks me and says, can you read my aura? Or if I'm working with a client and we need to understand what's blocking them, I can find the resistance in their aura and read their energy. But otherwise, yeah, it's something I consciously try not to get into unless it's required.
Okay.
And it doesn't take long. Sorry to answer that first question. Yeah, it doesn't take very long. Once you're open to it, you can see it almost immediately.
Yeah, so it's like any other psychic gift. Once you can do it, it's like riding a bicycle, right? It's like, oh, you can just turn it off.
Do it. These things are like muscles within us, right? And once you flex that muscle enough, it just becomes natural for you.
Yeah. And other than illnesses, what else can you detect in an aura?
So illness, it's literally all the same, right? So what you're seeing in an aura is you're seeing the flow of energy of a person. When that energy flow is blocked, they're going to feel it first emotionally, they're going to feel it mentally, they're going to have repeated thought patterns that almost feel like you're short-circuiting because you're like, why do I keep thinking about that thing? And then it makes me feel sad and it makes me feel angry. And the more that that happens, eventually that energy becomes bigger, I guess, and more dense, so to say. And when it's dense enough, that's when you start to feel it in the body as physical ailment. So what you're seeing is literally everything. The degree to which energy is trapped determines whether or not you're feeling it physically in the body or not.
Okay. And let's say it's like a past life thing, right? Like, or a karmic thing or ancestral thing. Do you see that in the aura as well? And how does that show up?
It will show up. It shows up a little bit lighter. Like it shows up, how do I say it? Because I can visually see it. It will show up like a little bit closer to the center, right? So it's something that you're kind of born with and rooted with, and you can actually, you can, so you're born with this. I was going to say you can actually also see it in people's natal charts as well, right? So the natal chart is kind of like also a little map of that. It's how you choose how you're going to conduct your flow of energy, right? So if you've got this tiny little seed and you're giving it a lot of like nutrients and you're showering it with a lot of energy and attention, is going to grow. Whether that's a negative seed or a positive seed, doesn't matter. So yeah, there's things from your past life. They can be very small or they can be very big, depending on how you're nurturing that energy in this lifetime.
Okay, gotcha. And so let's say you have uncovered something in a person, right, that has manifested mentally, physically, and emotionally. Is it that you are able to treat all three of them holistically, or do you send people somewhere else as well, or do you just do that by yourself, all of that?
I tend to like my clients to treat themselves. I believe that everybody, because like I said, you are the one who's in charge of the flow of your energy. So I can shift your energy, I can heal it. But if you're still running that same code or the same program, that energy block is going to start, you're going to start to nurture it again and it's going to grow all over again, right? So what I do with my clients is a little bit different, is I identify it for them because sometimes it's hard to see. You're kind of living your life in a maze, right? And I'm on top and I have that higher level view, right? And everybody's like that. I'm in my own maze. And so I can give them that code and I can say, here's what you need to look at, here's what you need to do. But when they do it themselves, it becomes a permanent change. If I do it for them, it's a temporary kind of relief.
I love that because I'm so all about that as well. It's just like about the client making their changes because everything else is just useless. Like if we do it for them, it's just doesn't matter. And so I'm really a big proponent of like really showing people like this is where it's at, but you need to get out of there. So I love that you do that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the only time I would ever clear it for them is if, let's say, it's just excruciating pain and they just can't make any progress, then you can say, okay, but they have to be committed to then doing the work to reprogram themselves. Otherwise, like you said, it's not gonna matter.
Of course. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Love it. And so there is several layers of the aura, right?
Yes.
Can you
Yeah.
go into that a little bit?
When you say several layers, you mean like explain in depth what you mean and
So I've heard that there's several layers of an aura, like energetic layers that you are able to see from like inside to outside. Can you explain
yes.
on or expand on that?
I wouldn't really, I mean, you can label them and you can term them, but ultimately the way I see everything is very, very holistic, right? I'm like, this is your aura and this is your aura. Yes, there's layers, but it doesn't really matter. What matters more is the aura is created by you, right? It's created by your essence and your thoughts and how they're combining and what they're creating, right? They're geometrical patterns, basically. And so, yes, there's different layers, but it's I don't know if you want to label them or like it, to me, it's one big aura. I don't really break it down that way.
Okay, cool. Love that explanation as well. You know, everyone has their own way of seeing it, right? Very cool. So that was 25 years ago, right? Like starting to read auras and Ayurveda as well. So how do these two go together? Maybe go a little bit first into the explanation of Ayurveda and what it is, and then walk us through how it goes together.
So Ayurveda is an ancient Indian medicinal system. It's thousands of years old, and it basically operates on a similar premise to aura reading in the sense that you're a holistic being. And so your health, first of all, health is unique to every single person. What looks healthy for you is very different from what looks healthy from someone else, right? So it's understanding what is your unique ideal health. And then striving to get there. And the only thing that knocks you out of health is imbalance, right? So imbalance in thoughts, in actions, in emotions. If you swing too much in a certain emotion all the time, it's going to cause imbalance in the body somehow, which will eventually manifest into disease, right? And I can go into a lot of detail. There's five elements and all of these things in Ayurveda, but where the two really overlap is the fact that you aren't just your physical body, right? You have a subtle body as well, which is your aura, right? So that's what you're kind of seeing when you're reading someone's aura, is you're seeing their subtle body. And in Ayurveda, you're seeing both. You're seeing physical body and subtle body. So that's kind of the overlap. That's how I use the two of them together, is to, so when I'm working with a client, for example, I will use Ayurveda to understand the pathology of their illness, right? So Ayurveda will explain it in terms of elements, which is a very physical thing, right? Like, this is what's going on in the body, and these are how the elements are working. But then the subtle energy part of it, I will do the aura reading to get a grasp and kind of confirm what you're seeing in the physical.
Okay. And your grandmother, as she was teaching you, was she just using Ayurveda, more of the physical, or was she using other gifts as well?
No, so she was more about all about the physical body. So she was like all about like, these are, the herbs and the remedies. So actually, I lost touch with all of that. So I did study it 25 years ago, and then I kind of lost touch, and I had a whole career, a corporate career, and then I had kids and I did a whole bunch of other things. It wasn't until about 8 years ago I left that career, and I decided to go back to school and study herbalism, and I became a herbalist. So that's where I kind of then revived that interest in Ayurveda and really actually studied it formally and went in depth, and then learned Western herbalism as well, where there's it's interesting because there's a lot of misconception about Western herbalism, but there's so many elements of it that are quite similar to Eastern medicine. When they talk about things being hot and cold, and they talk about the temperaments. And so, yeah, I studied all of that in depth. And then that's how I became a clinical herbalist.
Okay. And so Ayurveda, as far as I understand it, it's like you also, there's categories, right, for different people and how they digest things and how their body reacts to things, correct?
Yeah,
Okay.
yes.
And so Western herbalism, how does it work together with Ayurveda, or how is it similar and how is it not? What are the differences?
So with Ayurveda, you're looking at there's five elements, right? There's earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and your body type is determined based on your combination of those five elements, right? And they kind of break it down into three different body types, and then everybody's a combination of two of the three body types, right? And your body type, and when I talked about ideal health, that's what I kind of meant, is your body type is determined at your conception, and that when those elements are in that combination, that is when you're at your ideal health. And so that's why I said it looks different for everybody. If you have, excess earth, for example, in your constitution, then you're always going to be like, you have like a heavy set build, right? So that your ideal weight is going to be very different, for example. That's just one example. In Western herbalism, they use more of temperaments of bodies. So there's still also body types. It's not necessarily based on the elements as much as it is on the temperament. But when you think of temperament, you realize that's also subtle body. That's your emotions, which is creating physical reactions in the body and creating disease and illness in the body. So that's the way that the two of those are quite similar in that way. And when you're prescribing herbs to a client, you're looking at the temperament of the herb and the temperament of the client, which is exactly what you're doing in Ayurveda as well.
Okay, and then Ayurveda is determined by the birth date then, if you have that from your birth on, or how is that determined?
Your natal chart will definitely show your elements, right? So people, when you do their body type analysis and like say you find like a lot of fire, you'll probably also see a lot of fire in their natal chart. And so you're understanding that that's kind of their, you can say that's how they're wired, right?
Okay, and how else is it determined? Will you be asked questions as to how you digest things, or how else will that be determined other than the natal chart?
Yeah, it's usually quite an intense questionnaire. You want to go into detail because you want to understand somebody's physical body type, but then their mental body type, their emotional body type. So you're looking at it from all different angles and different layers. But ultimately, the fastest way to figure it out for me, at least, I know every practitioner has their own. I like to talk about someone's childhood and understand who they were as a child because that's when you were closest to who you were at conception, right? That's when you've been the least socially conditioned out of your original body type. And when you understand what illnesses they were prone to as a child, what affected them as a child is very easy to understand right away and confirm. It's after a certain point, you can actually just meet someone and really know right off the bat what their body type is. But yeah, it is a confirmation for sure.
Okay, interesting. So, would you be able to tell my body type right now, like what I am?
I see a lot of fire.
Okay, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. I would guess Pitta. I can't actually see your whole body, so it's hard to say, but I do see that like in the face, I do see the Pitta, which
Okay,
is fire.
interesting.
Yeah.
Then when it comes to Western herbalism, how do you determine the body type, or do you also go through a questionnaire, or can you determine that by childhood as well, or how do people do that? What do you need? Like what type of herbs you need? How does that get
They
determined?
do it also by questionnaire. I personally don't use that format just because the format of Ayurveda just resonated more deeply with me. I intuitively I understood about the elements and how they work and how they operate in the body. But yeah, I believe it's still a questionnaire. It's still up to the practitioner how they want to determine it.
Okay. So let's say somebody comes to you and they have a certain pattern in life. Let's just say they have the pattern of toxic relationships. What would be your process with all of that you know, right? Because you know a lot of modalities. Like what would be your process to determine or how to help them?
The first thing I would look at, number one, yeah, is the temperament. So understanding what's their body type, because toxic relationship is such a general term, right? What is creating the toxicity in the relationship on their end? So they're going to be holding a pattern, that's allowing that toxic relationship to actually manifest in their life. So immediately you want to understand what is that pattern that they're holding. So that can be done through a conversation, through talking, through like I said, I meet someone and the way that they speak and present themselves and how they look, you know their temperament right away. So you understand, okay, this is probably what's causing the toxicity in that relationship on their end, because in my practice, in my work, the other person is actually quite irrelevant because the last thing you want to do is project everything onto them. So we're not looking at them, we're looking at you, and we understand, okay, where's your pattern? Then I would read their aura, like I said, as a confirmation to say, yep, that's where it is, that's where it's sitting. It could be sitting anywhere in the body. So, for example, I have a client with, she has like a lot of heart issues, and you can see that grief and that people pleasing and that I'm doing everything in the relationship, but it's not enough, right? And that's sitting right here. And you can see that right in the aura. Somebody, for example, another client, she's got it sitting right here and it's self-expression. It's manifesting as thyroid. So these things, like it all becomes clear. I will then, depending on how, like, and every client is unique. So some clients need to know, like, well, why am I holding this pattern? Like, what's causing it? And oftentimes, what happens is in childhood, something happens. And we say trauma in such a loose way because, when I think trauma, when I first got into this work, I'm like, oh, trauma. Like, I've never had trauma. Like, that's like a, but trauma in the sense that in your body, for some reason, any event, it could not even, doesn't have to be severe. your body decided in that moment that it needed to hold on to a specific pattern in order to survive. And so when you do Reiki on somebody, it's possible to see where did this pattern first start getting all of that attention. Like I said, they're like little seeds, right, in your aura, and you start to nurture that seed, it grows. So when did you start nurturing that seed, and when did it sprout, and when did it take form and have roots and grow into this thing that's now blocking all your flow of energy? When you can identify that event, for most clients, oftentimes at that point, they can make the choice to let's pull this thing out by the roots and let's stop this pattern because it was required for a certain period of time to survive, but it's no longer required. So going to that example of a client with like a heart issue and the people pleasing and the grief from not getting that validation could have started in childhood with, you know, my parents are really happy with me when I do good things. And so if they're happy with me, they're going to feed me and they're going to shelter me and they're going to clothe me. So I'm going to continue to please them. And when they don't feel like the parents are pleased, there's that sadness, that grief, that I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy of love, or I'm not worthy of, you know, food, which is in our culture considered abundance, right? So then that translates later on into money issues, right? So you're looking at that and you can pull it out at the root. For most clients, when they have that awareness, every time that pattern comes up, it doesn't have the same power over them anymore because they realize now that, hey, that was something I chose to implement in my life. And now I choose not to. It's just a simple choice that you have to make. And once they make that choice, everything starts to shift, right? So now we get to the toxic relationship. Now that they've done the inner work, either that toxic relationship doesn't seem appealing to them anymore, or the other person was simply reacting to their pattern, and that person shifts their energy, and the toxicity from the relationship starts to dissipate.
So tell me about, like, maybe you have one or a few people or cases where there was an emotional root cause on a physical issue. Like, let's say somebody came to you with a physical issue, and then you're like, oh, this is, you know, the root, like something that's really cool, really interesting, and something that people can relate to.
So I'll talk about one of my clients. She had a thyroid issue, for example, right? And so she was holding back her self-expression. So she came to me like, okay, I don't want to take these meds. I don't want to, like, I have a thyroid. Can you do something? And so I was like, okay, let's get to the root of it. And so I followed that exact process with her that I just told you. And it literally, she started to just express herself differently. She started to understand her truth. She knew why she had that pattern. We literally went to exact moments in her childhood, and she could see, and she was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Right. And it's kind of like every time that pattern would surface, I'm like, remember now, you're no longer in the jungles trying to survive. You're now safe and you don't need that. And that was kind of the process she went through, shifted how she was expressing herself in general, right? So her relationship changed. Her business changed. She started showing up and speaking her mind. And all of a sudden, all of these new people are like, oh, can I work with you? Can I work with you? So, getting to that root cause. And of course, she's not on the meds. Like, the doctor actually, she just got a, like, actually picked up the phone and called her and said, hey, like, I don't know what you're doing, but it's working and you don't need the medications anymore. Right. So, she's a great example of how she just decided, I'm going to pull this out by the roots and heal my body and transform my life.
And I feel like this is a lot of the times is the case for women because like thyroid issues are just so common within us, right? So
Yes.
that was great. So I think a lot of people can relate to that one.
Yeah, holding back self-expression for women. You do see thyroid a lot more in women than men.
And so where do you use this, or where have you used this process in your life for you?
Oh, that's a good question. I've used it a lot. So I first started understanding this and putting the pieces together like 8 years ago, where I was like, oh, wow. Okay. So there's that emotional connection to the physical body. So I was actually told by doctors in my late 20s, dance is my first passion. And I was a dancer for so many years. And I danced at one point, I was dancing 8 hours a day. And that's when I really injured my knees. And so doctors were like, you need to give up dance. You have the knees of a 65-year-old. And I was like, that's like telling me to stop breathing. Like, there is no way. And I remember walking out of the doctor's office, and I remember like the first thought that came in my head, I was like, it's my body. I decide. You don't get to decide if I have to give up dance. You can't decide that my knees are that of a 65-year-old. And basically their thing was, you're going to get surgery. You can't reverse this. There's nothing you can do about it. And I just walked out of there with so much resolve. And that's when I started to meet all the right people and things started falling into place. And I started to understand how knees, like you've heard it, like somebody makes you weak in the knees. So for me, my pattern was in love. I was always very, very giving, right? I'm still quite a soft person. So the people in my life, it was very easy for people to take advantage of that because you get weak in the knees and you become giving. And so I was giving so much of myself. So when I understood that, I shifted that pattern. I did other work as well on my knees and like the herbal remedies and all of that and combined it. I now run my own dance school. I can dance 8 hours a week, no problem. My knees are in better shape today than they were when I was like 25. Completely reversed. Like I can ride a bike, and in my 20s, like riding a bike for 10 minutes, my knees would start hurting. So that's, I would say, the biggest one. I've used it in a lot of other instances in my life as well, but I think for me, that's like the most transformative.
That is impressive. And I can, like my soul, when you said, they said I can no longer dance, my soul was like, oh my God, I feel you. If anyone told me that, I would die. Like,
right?
Yeah. If I didn't change anything, I would die. Like there's no sense of life without dance for me either.
Oh, really? Oh my God. That's your passion too? Oh.
That's how much I love dancing. Like, oh my God, I my heart was ripped out when you said that.
That's so you get that feeling. That's exactly how I felt. And a part of me now in retrospect, because that moment, I do remember looking at my doctor and I'm like, do you understand exactly what you just said to me? Like, I'm like, she has no idea because she doesn't understand that love and passion that I have. But I do look back because that moment, like I remember like closing the door, walking out of the office. And I do remember that thought when I said like, no, it's my body. I decide. It was so powerful that I think without that moment, I don't know if I would have had this journey. Because in that moment, it was because like you said, my heart was ripped out and a part of me awoken and went, what? No, like, no, there's no way this isn't going to be my life. I'm not going to be doing this. I'm not getting surgery when I'm like 30 years old. Like there's no way. No.
No. And I want to get into this because like when we dance, right, it's like we're in the moment, we're in the presence, and there's nothing in this world for me. And I think I can speak for you too, where you are in the moment and where you can just forget everything around you and where you can just express yourself in ways that you've never expressed yourself before. And it's just you're one with the universe when you dance. That's how it is for me, right?
100%. Yes. And like we talked in the beginning about like altered states. Like for me, I'm like when I'm dancing, it's an altered state.
Yes.
It's definitely.
I'm not here. I'm in heaven. I'm like I'm somewhere else, you know?
That's exactly where you are. And like I would say, so, you know, I did actually, this is so, I know we're talking about dance now, but like, I went through, when I went through that rough period in my life, right? What did they say? Like the dark night of the soul, or you go through your awakening. Dance was like the only thing where I was like, I can just forget about everything I'm going through right now and just shut the door, be in the studio and just dance and not have to be in that, in what all of that turmoil that I was in.
Exactly. And for somebody, for a doctor to tell you like, no, you can't do this anymore. This has to be a moment for everyone. Like if any doctor tells anyone you cannot do what brings you the most alive, there's no way. There's no way. Like you should stop that.
So, no. And I think that's where you get that resolve, because if it doesn't hit you where it really counts, you can't get that power generated within you, right? And that was what generated the power. It was like, no, then what's the point? Like, it was literally that thought across my mind. I'm like, so what, then what's the point if I can't dance?
Yeah, what's the point of life?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I'm like, well, then why am I here? What am I doing, right? So it has to be that. And I do like, when you've gone through like that dark tunnel and you've made it out the other side, and you probably know this too with your clients, when you see them there in that spot where your heart has been ripped out, you're almost thinking, I know it hurts. And it, for anyone that's in that place, I know it hurts, but this is where you're going to get your power. And this is what's going to be the turnaround point. And this is what's going to, in when you're out the other side, you're going to understand why a lot better.
Absolutely. And so this was very powerful just now, but so tell us something else that you haven't shared about something that you do or your process or anything that you want really that is going to help people really get into their power more.
I would say for me, there's a few things. The number one thing that I came to this realization through this work is that, like I said, everything is interconnected, right? So your mind, body, emotions, it's all connected. And when you have a block in the aura, eventually it's going to show up in the physical body and you're going to have illness. But all of this also affects your ability to manifest, right? So I talked about my client and her business, and I was like, when you have this illness in your body, it's actually communicating to you your resistance towards having what you want, what you desire, what you want to manifest. So instead of seeing the illness as, oh, there's something wrong with my body, ask yourself the question, oh, what resistance am I holding in my energy that's causing this? And that's probably, and I'm saying probably, most likely is the thing that's also holding me back from having everything I want to manifest. So that is actually a communication signal to you about shift your energy and how to shift it and where to shift it and what to shift, more than, oh, my body is breaking down or something bad is happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram. They can find, so do you want me to put up the
handle? We're going to put all of that in the show
notes. Put them in there?
Yes.
Instagram is the best way to message me. I have a free Facebook community where I share a lot of information and other people ask questions and stuff. You can ask questions too, and I'll answer them. I'm also on TikTok and my website, which I'm sure you'll link below.
Okay, perfect. Amazing. Well, Rini, thank you so much for coming here, for your time, for your energy. I really appreciate it. Lovely conversation. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Love this episode of Mind Your Subconscious? Subscribe, rate, and leave a review on whichever platform you're listening. It's very much appreciated. Thank you so much.